They're laughing at us again. Welcome to Hidden Agenda on Grand Forks Best Source, brought to you today by Churchill Shoes. Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall. And starting Monday, April 8th, by the way, all shoes $50 off at Churchill Shoes. All right, again, welcome to Hidden Agenda. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, myself, and Paul, the producer. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call or text. Our number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. And let's get this out of the way right away. It's time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Biden logic. You know his policies are working, David? Joe Biden's policies are working. In fact, during Trump, your gas tank only held $36. Now it holds over 90. Must be working, huh? All right, a couple of things. I call this my monologue on Tuesdays. I hope you had a good Easter Sunday. I mean, a transgender day of visibility. I hope that all went well for all of you people. You know, Joe Biden, it's funny. He's the one that proclaimed this transgender day of visibility, trans visibility day. But then if you look at Google Joe Biden news, and now he's denying it. Say, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. You see, they have the big Easter egg hunt at the White House. This year, the White House banned kids from submitting religious Easter egg designs. Couldn't even have religious Easter egg designs. Boy, I tell you what, that is something. Sleepy Joe, by the way, speaking of him, his disapproval rating, 53.3%. His approval rating, it's going up a little bit, 39.1%. 39.1%. Here's another great story. West Fargo, I don't know if you saw this in the news, they're allowing up to 6 chickens. Yep, you can have 6 chickens in your backyard now. I mean, look at the cost of eggs and all of that stuff. Fargo, Moorhead, Horace, they all allow it. But not East Grand Forks. Nope. They can have an asphalt plant and a beet plant, though. But can't have a couple of chickens in the backyard. One thing I wanted to read, I became confused when I hear the word service, because it's used with these agencies. Internal Revenue Service, U.S. Postal Service, Cable TV Service, Civil Service, Federal, State, City, and Public Service, Customer Service. This is not what I thought service meant. But then this morning, I stop at the gas station every morning, and I overheard these two farmers talking, and one of them said he had bought a bull to service his cows. Bam! Nailed it. Now it all comes to me. It's all coming into focus. Now I understand what all these agencies are doing to us. And now you are enlightened as I am. Thank you very much. One more thing. I want to leave this at this, or leave it at this. If Trump was guilty of half the things he's accused of, he could run as a Democrat, you know that? All right, that's there we go. And by the way, I'm wearing my Tuesday hat. David, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm very well, thank you, John. Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. You had a good trans visibility day, and I promise I'm never using that word again. You had a good Easter?
You know what? Boy, that's a loaded question, actually, because you said something about that they didn't allow any religious-themed eggs.
Yeah.
But the whole trans
movement, that's fine.
That is a religion.
Yeah, and people don't realize Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Not transgender Easter eggs, bull crap.
But isn't the whole trans movement a religion? I thought that was a religion.
I guess some people can call it that.
So I think that what's a religion? It's a system of beliefs that one ascribes to that may or may not be based on provable scientific fact.
Okay.
There's nothing in the trans movement that's based on science. Well, it's not based on biology.
Do they worship somebody or something?
I think that they worship their own ability to determine what they are.
Okay. Okay.
So God, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God made them what? Male and female. Does it say and everything in between?
No.
Does
no.
it say that?
No.
It says God made them male and female.
Okay, literally.
So that's that right. So that's in scripture. That's yeah. what the Bible says. That's Genesis chapter 1.
Right.
God made them male and female. So these folks are saying, no, no, no. I will now decide that I'm not a male, not a female. I'm something in between. I'm a them or a they or an it or a. Do they have? For I'm just wondering, John. In terms of personal pronouns, is
that him?
I don't think okay. so. Is freak one of them?
It should
or
be.
Weirdo? Is oh, that one yeah, of the pronouns yeah, that yeah. they?
The unique there. We're being very nice today, aren't we?
No, I'm just asking the question. Nope. I'm asking the question. And I say that, obviously, tongue-in-cheek, because the fact is that these people who engage in this behavior and this ideology or this religious practice are desperately deceived. I mean, these are very, very unhealthy individuals,
yeah.
mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. They're sick people, and we shouldn't really mock them, but the fact that what makes it hard not to do that is that they're pushing their religion on the rest
mm-hmm.
of us,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are states right now. I was just listening to a podcast this morning that said that it was Joshua Phillips' podcast on the Epic Times of Epic TV, talking about a family in I think it was Washington. I didn't hear if it was Washington State or Washington D.C., where a child was kicked out of school or fined because he didn't use the preferred pronouns of a classmate. Gosh. This is in America, so
can't call them kids.
You can't. No, I mean he. Maybe he referred to this other child as he or she.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
then, oops. Oh, yeah. So, John, think back to when you were in high school. When you were in junior high school, mm-hmm. can you imagine a child going into the principal's office? A boy going to the principal's office and saying to the principal, John said he was pointed right at me and he said, he just did this and I'm Susan and I'm a girl. And the principal saying, get John in here right away. And you come into the office and say, John, you're suspended. You're kicked out of school for a week for not calling Susan, Susan, and calling her a him. Can you, in your wildest dreams, imagine that happening when you were in high school?
When I was in high school, no. They would have probably smacked the person, kicked them out of school, and told me to go on my merry way. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Go to Rumble now if you want to hear the rest of the show, folks. All right?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oops.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. Are we going to get kicked off or what? Huh? Are we going to get in trouble?
Probably.
No, I already took us off of Facebook and YouTube.
Okay.
Because
okay.
it was supposed to be right after the intro. Oh, yeah. These are the show topics. Now, if you want to...
No, I thought it was after I was done with my spiel.
Yeah, you were.
Okay, I know, but then he jumped in.
Sorry. Sorry. I jumped
it's
in.
It's 10 minutes quick. And 32 seconds. You told me after 10 minutes, so, all right, there we go. Sorry.
What you're talking about, though, too, because Biden, he actually made a quote saying, I can't remember exactly, but he quoted the Bible saying that, like, for the trans community, that everybody is created in God's image or whatever, and all that stuff.
That's true.
But he didn't finish the sentence.
Of course not.
Did he fall asleep in the middle of it?
Why did he not finish it?
He left out the last part of the sentence where it says, in God's image, man.
Male and female.
Male and female.
Male and female.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he forgot that little part.
How about that?
Yeah, what a coinkydink, huh?
It's a little bit like when Dr. Pepper put the... The Pledge of Allegiance on their Coca-Cola can. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, mm-hmm. for which it stands, one nation. They left out the words under God.
Yeah.
And the reason they said they left out the words under God was because they forgot. No.
They forgot.
They said it was because there wasn't room on the can to include the words under God. A clever observer said they could have left out the word indivisible.
Yeah.
That would have been better. It's a longer word. But anyway, so that's very interesting, Paul, that he chose to only quote the part of the Bible that fit his agenda.
Right.
And There's actually a name for that in theology. It's called proof texting, where you take just a little part of what the Bible says and you then quote that in order to support your agenda or your position, your belief, or whatever it is, your argument, but you don't quote the rest of it. And that's a very, very bad idea. And I think it makes God actually pretty angry when someone actually uses his word to promote something that he's not promoting or to say something that he's not saying. In fact, that happens pretty regularly. So
there's also a thing in there, too, because Ben Shapiro was talking about this, but, you know, I don't know too much about the Bible, but using your religion for political gain is also, like, not supposed to happen.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is where this becomes a very difficult area to unwrap, because there are people who do that. People who make a claim, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a, maybe in another country. Well, I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a whatever. And they really don't believe those things at all, right? They're just saying it because they think that that's what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
Which is what politicians do, typically. They say what they think that people want to hear. A politician, and so I would make a make a distinction between a politician and a statesman, where a politician will say what they think you want to hear, so they'll get your vote. A statesman will say what they truly believe, whether they think you're going to like it or not. Because a statesman lets you know where they stand. Mm-hmm. So a statesman will stand up and say, look, I know this is a predominantly a Democrat district or city or whatever it is that I'm running in. But when someone says, so are you pro-life or pro-choice? And they say, I'm pro-life. Mm-hmm. Even though they know it'll cost them votes, they say it anyway because it's true. They don't say, well, you know, that's a discussion that we could have at a different time, but I don't, blah, blah, blah. And they can do that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
Because they're cowards. So going back to your point about Ben Shapiro saying that you shouldn't ever bring religion into politics, I disagree with him on that, because if a person truly is a Christian, a strong Bible-believing Christian, I don't think that they should be ashamed or afraid of saying that.
He didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
He said that Biden is, he claims to be a Christian, but
he's clearly not.
He's not, and he uses that to try to gain votes and stuff, which is apparently a sin.
Sure. Right.
Well, it's lying.
It's lying, right? Yeah, which is a sin. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, and what's even worse is that he's using God as an advertising tool, right? He's trying to promote himself, suggesting that he's something that he's clearly not. Mm-hmm. And that is that also is a sin. But, I mean, I think that everything that Biden does is a sin. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
How many? He's all about himself. He lives for himself. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not the point of today's show, but I do want to say something. You can learn a lot about a man or a woman by the way that they behave when they're off camera.
Sure. Right?
The things that they say and the things that they do. So I read the book Inside the Bubble, which was Dan Bongino's first book.
Okay.
I helped make it a bestseller, as I'm very happy to claim that I helped make his book a bestseller.
And you're not lying.
And I'm not lying.
Nope.
Because I bought his book before it was a bestseller.
Okay. And so you helped make it one.
I was part of the... Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
He says in his book that he describes an event where... Because he part of his job when he first joined the Secret Service was to provide protection for Hillary Clinton when she was running as a senator in New York City.
Okay.
She wasn't from New York, but she moved to New York.
Yeah.
She's running in New York as a senator. And he's providing security for her. And at some point, he sees her behind the scenes. He sees her when there are no cameras there.
Sure.
What she says, how she acts. And at some point, he describes an event where they were in a room with Hillary, and she began berating not just the Secret Service, but the military men who were there and working with them. And she's just chewing these guys out for no reason at all, right? Maybe because she doesn't like them.
Yeah.
She dislikes the Secret Service. She dislikes the U.S. military because she hates America.
She doesn't like anybody, yeah.
She's an enemy of America. Mm-hmm, she is an enemy of America.
Yes.
And one of the guys who was new to this scene thought that somehow he brought it upon everyone else. And he said, hey, brother, sorry. I'm really sorry about that. And they looked at him and they said, hey, no, brother. Yeah. They said, this is a daily event for us.
It's just part of the deal.
We deal with this with her. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Yeah. And we will give our life. We will lay our life on the line for her.
That's right. And, yeah. And Dan Bongino said that. He said he would have taken a bullet for Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
Without even a second thought.
That's what they do.
Wouldn't hesitate.
Yep.
And guess what? If she thought she could get away with it, I'm sure she would not hesitate to put a bullet in his body herself.
Sure. Yeah.
Because she just hates everything about America. Mm-hmm. And wants to destroy it. So, I mean, she was a huge devotee the socialist who wrote the book Rules for Radical, what's his name? Saul Alinsky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure, she's a huge Saul Alinsky fan and a big student of his.
Go figure.
She was a student of Saul Alinsky before she went to law school.
Oh.
And then she, after she got out, she wrote a letter to Saul Alinsky saying, well, I survived law school, but don't worry, I still believe. No, I'm still a communist. Yeah,
that's back when she looked like an ugly man. Sorry.
There was another event where they said that this was a Secret Service agent who describes Bill and Hillary being in an elevator. You've probably heard this one. And he said, Hillary yelled and screamed at the top of her lungs at Bill. Called him every name in the book, and you effing this, and you, I mean, just every name in the book, just raging at him. And she said, and then the elevator stopped, and she stopped screaming. The doors opened, she grabbed his hand and smiled and walked out of the elevator just in time for the cameras. So that's Hillary Clinton. That's the woman that was running against President Trump in 2016. I want to describe a little scene to you, gentlemen, and have you tell me what you think about this. There are two men. We'll call them, Sam and Joe. Okay? No, not Joe. Let's call them, Mark and Sam. Okay? Mark and Sam. Here's the situation. They're walking to a public event. One of them is going to speak. In fact, Mark is going to speak. All right? And Mark is, and it's raining, and Mark is carrying an umbrella, and they're walking towards the microphone where Mark's going to speak. And Sam says to Mark, and this is on camera, but just because cameras are running, but nobody, they're not by the microphone yet, so they don't think anyone can hear. Mm-hmm. And Sam turns to Mark, and he says, want me to hold that for you? And Mark says, sure, do you mind? He says, no, it's fine. And he hands him the umbrella. And then Mark says, oh, thank you very much, Sam. And then he steps up to the microphone and says, okay, everybody, thank you for coming. Okay, that interaction, do you want me to hold that for you? Sure, do you mind? No, okay, thank you very much. What would you say that just that little interaction would say about the character of Mark in terms of how he feels about himself and how he...
Polite.
Yeah, he's polite.
Giving.
Respectful.
Respectful, yeah, sure.
Thoughtful, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't think of himself as a debutante. He doesn't think of himself as the king, as someone who's above everyone else. I think that's a very respectful interaction,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So I saw that. I watched this on a video. I was sent just a little clip of this video where Mark was actually speaking. But I went back to, I've got the whole thing. So I went back to the very beginning where Mark walks up and I'm watching the whole thing. And I just see this. I see them kind of just talking to each other. And I couldn't hear what they were saying. So I cranked up the sound until just the ambient sound that's caught by the camera mics. Mm-hmm. Until I could hear what they were saying to each other. And that was what they were saying. Only it wasn't Mark and, who did I say?
Sam.
Yep.
It was Don and Bruce. More specifically, Donald and Bruce. It was President Donald Trump, and I don't know Bruce's last name, but they're walking to the microphone where at the funeral of this fallen police officer, and President Trump was holding his own umbrella. And as they're walking to the microphone, Bruce says to him, you want me to hold that for you? And you could tell that caught President Trump off guard because he paused. He says, sure, do you mind? And then he hands it to him, and he takes it, and he says, thank you very much, Bruce. And then they walk up to the mic, and he starts to speak. And you think about all the lies that have been told about President Trump over the years. He's evil. He thinks he's the king. He's a dictator. Guess what? Dictators don't thank you for holding their umbrella.
Yep.
In fact, dictators don't hold an umbrella. They look at you as if you're nuts if you don't hold the umbrella in the first place. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that out. Yeah. If you want to watch the video, it's just pull up. It's still available on YouTube. Just pull up the footage of President Trump.
I thought this was going to be another Let's Go Brandon type story. But what they really were saying was, but no. Yeah.
No, but that really shows. And I think, you know, I like to watch people. I watch how they interact with other people. And if you watch President Trump, when he's interacting with anybody, I mean, with crowds, when he was first elected, when he walks into the Senate, as people are shouting at him and trying to talk to him, he looks them right in the eye, and you can tell he's addressing them as an individual, as opposed to most politicians who look at you like, yeah, good to see. Hey, yeah, good to see.
What's
okay.
your name?
Yeah. And they couldn't care. If any of the other politicians, especially anybody on the Democrat ticket, were to say, hey, yeah, good to see. Hey, thanks for coming. And you can say to them, hey, what was that guy wearing? What guy? The guy you just shook hands with. I got no idea.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where he stole his umbrella from.
Anyway, I think just that little thing alone impresses me about President Trump, because he really engages with people as individuals. Okay, so we talked about I do think that the transsexual, because that's really what it means, right? Trans, it's trans, short for transsexual.
Sure.
That is a religion, because there's no, it's completely based on the belief that you can choose your gender. It's totally a belief. There's no biology behind it. There's nothing to prove anywhere in history or in biology of humans or animals. Anywhere in the animal kingdom, you can't show that there are more than two genders. There are two genders, male and female. That's it.
There's just some like that can do both in the animal kingdom, but...
Very few.
Yeah, very few.
I mean, so what are they?
Well, I believe seahorses might be one where they can fertilize. They carry, the male can also carry, and I think there's a couple others, but yeah, very, very rare, and I think it's pretty much all things that live underwater.
So are these people identifying as seahorses?
No, not that I, or can we order them in the back of a comic book and call them sea monkeys? Shrimp.
You know, anyway. I did that once when I was a kid.
I found out they were
brine shrimp. Yeah.
According to them, though, they can identify as a seahorse.
So the point is, they can identify as anything.
Yeah.
So the point is that, but that's a religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a religious, it's a belief.
Seahorse Day of Awareness.
Giddy up, go.
Where's that going?
Yeah.
It's a belief that is, and they are the deity in that world. Right? They have to be.
Because
they can't, they don't believe in the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible says, no, you're either male or you're female.
Right.
So they don't believe, they reject that, and so they have to reject who God is. So that kind of brings us to another point. And one of the things that is frightening to me here, let me just make sure that I, so I was going to ask, what is it based on our discussion before the show started, what does it take to become, here's the trivia question, what does it take to become a celebrity in the 21st century?
Oh boy. I don't know.
You just declare yourself to be the whatever the current model of a freak is.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And you're a celebrity.
Sure. There you go.
Because those and I'll say this, John, when I was growing up, because my mother was a very very loving person, very sensitive to other people, never wanted to offend anyone. The word freak in our household was almost considered like a swear word.
Yeah.
You don't call people that. You don't go to the, you go to the circus, you don't go to the freak show. That's really evil, to look at people that have some deformity or some weirdness and gawk at them and make fun of them. You don't look at people like that, you know, because they're people. They have they have feelings and they, you know, emotions and thoughts too, and they have a right to be, you know, live a dignified life, even if they have some weird thing. So I grew up with that sensitivity, and I think that that's good. But these people, you look at what they're doing to kids. You have men dressed as not just women, but gaudy, grotesque, you know, flamboyant, gross stuff.
You have men dressing like teenage girls. That's bothers the hell out of me, man.
Worse than that, you know, with eyelashes and fake breasts.
Like a girl college basketball player.
They look freakish.
Yeah.
And then these men sit down and they want to have little kids come sit on their laps while they read them a story of homosexuality, how it's good for little boys to have sex with men or with other little boys. I mean, they sponsor this at American libraries. That's a freak show.
There's like one of those reels or videos out there, but this person is going through the city and he's just going up to random people and asking them two questions. So he says, you know, name a celebrity that comes to mind. And, you know, so they'll come up with, you know, Kim Kardashian or Taylor Swift or something along those lines. And then he'll ask him a question that says, name somebody that's influential that has, like, morally, but somebody that's influenced you morally to, like, make your life
better. Be a better person or something?
Be a better person.
Yeah.
Crickets. Nobody can come up with one.
Wow.
Because everybody in America, they just glorify celebrities, and they don't, they can't think of one person that isn't a celebrity that is, like, that would be a role model.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, would you consider, like, Kim Kardashian a role model? No. Okay. Can you name somebody who is a role model? No.
That, Paul, I'm really glad you said that, because that is, that's a frightening thought. And it points us to a much bigger problem that I'm going to, I want to take a bite out of that cookie, if you'll allow me.
Oh, I think that was a lead in.
Oh, is that supposed to be a lead in?
Maybe.
Wow, all of a sudden I was getting hungry. I should have caught that. Wow, you know, there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods, and that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. You'll find them right here on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. It doesn't matter. If you want the best cakes or cupcakes for a special occasion or maybe just a treat, maybe you want to treat your employees to something, check them out. You're not going to want to leave when you walk in there, man. It is unbelievable. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call them up, 701-757-CAKE. You can also email them at oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Folks, we are into April, not that far away from graduation. You know what I'm talking about. Order your graduation cupcakes or cakes now. Hey, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins at Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. And I believe Oh for Heaven's Cakes is going to be in here next week talking with Dale. So there you go. They're laughing at us again. Hidden Agenda on Grand Forks Best Source. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, Paul, the producer, and myself. And, I got sidetracked there. You guys keep you're getting better and better at these segues.
So, Paul, to your point, and then I want to get on to the actual title of the show and why it's called They're Laughing at Us Again. But, Paul, you said that somebody asked the question, you know, who's famous? Yeah, they name all kinds of people. And who do you see as a role model? And they have nothing. I was just literally thinking over the weekend about how when I was younger, and even as I was growing up, even into high school, and probably even beyond high school, and you tell me if you did the same thing, both of you. When I would go to a movie, especially if there's a movie about, I mean, they didn't really have superhero movies when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they maybe every once in a while, but when I'd go to a movie and there's some guy who's doing some heroic thing and they're bad guys, I would watch the movie and I would think, yeah, I want to be like that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would think, I want to be... When I was a kid watching Star Trek on TV, I love my dad. He was not really around that much when I was growing up. A lot of people can relate to that. But I wanted a male role model, a male role model.
Yeah.
And so I love the TV series Star Trek, even though it was invented and produced by a guy that was an atheist. And I mean, but Gene Roddenberry, but still a brilliant mind in some ways. Watching Star Trek, there were three role models that, and they were. I was almost conscious. I don't know if I was. I think I was conscious of the fact that these three men were role models for me, and they were Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, and Dr. McCoy.
Bones.
Yep. Bones. I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. Right?
Damn you, Jim.
Did he ever say that?
I'm not sure. I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer?
No. Well, anyway, he did say that. Here's the thing. Captain Kirk was a role model for leadership and courage. You know, he would stand up in the face of, he would face down death. He would face down situations where not only he could die, but his entire ship could die. But he faced it with courage. He never cowered. He never backed off. He was a man, and he did what needed to be done to protect his ship and to do the right thing. And so he was able to make decisions under pressure. And I thought, yeah, I want to be like that. I want to be able to do that. Spock was a role model for what, if you watch the show? For using your head, right?
Yeah.
For logic, reason, deciding what... No, that doesn't make sense. We're not going to do that. So I early on realized that logic is very important in life and to be able to figure things out logically to come to a better conclusion, a better decision, and to look for truth because the facts often yield information leading to truth.
But there's a flaw in what you're saying here, though.
Okay.
Because so you can look at them as role models, but they're characters in a show. Now, what if you were to say, okay, so Captain Kirk is your role model, but that's a fictional character.
Yeah.
So you have William Shatner, who is playing Captain Kirk.
Right.
And then he gets up on stage to get an award, and he says some ridiculous crap that is terrible, you know?
Yeah.
So he's not a role model. It's his character that Correct. He plays.
That's right.
You know, so now if you're looking at him and you're looking up to him as a role model, and then all of a sudden he gets on camera, not as Captain Kirk, but as William Shatner, you're looking at your role model and you're taking in what he's saying, but what he's telling you is not like good.
Okay, good. Right. So I'm glad that you brought that up because that's a great point. And to clarify, I did not look to William Shatner as a role model. I looked to his character, Captain Kirk, and you say, but that's a fake character. That's just a fictional character. Some writer wrote all those lines and some writer put him in those situations for him to respond to. And I know that that's true. But I also know it's true because of my reading of history that there really are men like that. That the character of James T. Kirk and the way that he behaved in the show actually is representative of real men who... But
that's my point, is why doesn't anybody know the names of those real men?
Yeah, right, and it's... that's an even better point, Paul. And the reason that that's a better point is because those men have been erased from history. The names of those men, men like Booker T. Washington, men like John Adams, Paul Revere, men who risked their lives in extraordinary circumstances, facing almost certain death, and in some cases paid the ultimate price with their lives. Those men have been erased. We don't talk about those. They're not taught in school. They're resigned to some dusty history book on a shelf in some library where they're having a trans show to distract kids so that they don't ever learn the truth. And because we're not ambitious enough to go look for ourselves, like Thucydides said 2,500 years ago, most people will not take pains to get to the truth themselves, but they'll rather believe the first story they hear. Or if you were to put that in more modern terms, most people will believe the first thing that's the most accessible to them, that they're able to see most easily, whatever shows up on on their phone or at the library event or whatever it is, because that's the easily available content for them to consume, right? We're not out there looking for the truth. And so we don't know those people. I think that if someone had done a show on some of the real heroes of either the faith of of Christianity or the real heroes, excuse me, of America, who brought our country to what it ultimately became and now is in the process of not being anymore, I think there'd be a tremendous audience for that, especially because they're real. But as a surrogate for real heroes, I looked at these men who demonstrated these characteristics that I knew were valid and valuable characteristics to have as a man, knowing that someday I'm going to be one, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Someday I'm going to be a man. I mean, I watched that show when I was in fifth and sixth grade, but I wanted to know how to behave when I become a man. And so I learned that by watching these three fictional characters. I didn't get to Bones. Dr. McCoy was an example of someone who, even though he complained when he was asking, dude, you know,
yeah.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. I'm a doctor, not an elevator, yeah. not an escalator. He still did what he needed to do, and he was an example of manly compassion, because he really demonstrated compassion for his patient, whoever the patient was, whether it was an alien rock creature or a member of the crew.
Or some hot purple chick.
Or a hot purple chick. It didn't yeah. matter. I think she was green.
Or whatever.
But, yeah. but that's... We need role models. My point is mm-hmm. we need role models.
Sure.
And Paul, I would contend that if you A, want a role model and you search them out, whether they're fictitious or not, in fact, I would say I don't think they've written a fictitious role model that hasn't been eclipsed by a real-life human being who did something far greater than this Hollywood writer came up with for the movie or a novelist came up with for a book. But we still need to do that. But in order to choose a role model, you first have to have an established set of values, correct? In other words, you have to have a belief of what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. The role model shows you how to live out what's right in difficult circumstances. But you still have to start out with the idea of right and wrong.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So when Dr. McCoy is called to treat a patient who's dying, and he does everything that he can to save that patient's life, instead of searching rapidly through the patient's pockets to see if there's anything of value there, right? Ripping off any kind of jewelry that he's got in order to enrich his own pocketbook. Mm-hmm. Before some other crew member can come and do it. Did you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are two different value systems. So the person that just sees money as their ultimate value isn't going to care whether the patient lives or dies. If there's money to be made, or maybe I'll cut out his heart and sell it on the black market as an organ transplant.
Sure.
You have to start out with values of right and wrong before you choose a role model. And we're getting quickly to the point where kids today don't even know that there's such a thing as right and wrong. You know, the Bible warns about that too. It says, woe to you when you call evil good and good evil. And we already have that in America today. So I said they're laughing at us again. When Joe Biden made this declaration of the Trans Visibility Day, and he did it on what's called Easter Sunday, and I don't call. By the way, I don't celebrate Easter, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I celebrate the resurrection, but not Easter. That's a whole other story. Americans are so easily distracted. I don't know if this ship running into the bridge was part of a conspiracy or not, whether it was planned or not. I mean, General Michael Flynn thinks that it's possible that it was part of something, a bigger plan to distract us, because the ship actually apparently lost control or lost power hours earlier. And he asked the question, where were the tugboats?
Exactly.
Why did no one respond to that until it crashed into the bridge?
Apparently, too, and I have to fact check this, But the Barack Obama movie that he just released, I can't remember the name of it now. But in the very beginning of that movie, apparently that a ship just like that knocks down that bridge at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, really? The same bridge in the movie? Okay, interesting.
And it's a cargo ship.
So the Francis Scott Key Bridge was built. It took 5 years to build. It was erected in 1977. And thousands of people rely on that bridge to get to and from work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to cause a pretty serious disruption there, as well as the ships that can't get through until they clear the bridge out of the way. But maybe today's show should have been called Another Magic Act. As a former magician, I will tell you, magic works on one principle, one, only one. All magic works the same way. I'm talking about entertainment magic.
Yep.
And it's the principle of distraction.
Sure.
The principle of misdirection.
Yep.
They get you to look over here where the real magic is happening over here.
Sure.
This is where it's happening over here. That in fact, the movie, what's the movie? The movie on magic came out a few years ago. Now You See Me. Great movie. If you've never seen it, very entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's just a very entertaining movie, Now You See Me. Don't see Now You See Me 2 because they try to undo a bunch of stuff that they did in the first movie.
Yep.
And it just, I don't know, I think just so they could bring back the star, what's his name, Morgan Freeman. I like Morgan Freeman as an actor. I think he's a really very talented actor. But anyway, they brought him back from Now You See Me 2 and undid what they did. So don't watch that movie. Just watch the first one. Anyway, the point is, if they can do a little magic act over here, whether it's a bridge collapsing because it got hit by a ship, whether it's Joe Biden announcing that what Christians around the world celebrate is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he calls that Transgender Day, I think it's a distraction. I think that when they see all these people, especially conservatives, especially Christian conservatives, suddenly, oh, look at that, what? Now they're focused on that. And that means that they're not looking anywhere else. And so when that happens, I start wondering, what are they doing? What's going on somewhere else that they don't want us to see? It's not always nefarious. I mean, President Trump was he's a master at that. He could play the press. See, here's the thing. Trump would play the press with his magic act. He'd play them like a fiddle.
Sure.
You know, when he wanted to accomplish something in the White House, he would say things like, when someone's accusing him of, you know, doing anything that was wrong, he'd say, well, if I wanted to, as a president, I could pardon myself. You know, he'd make statements like that and then watch the press go ballistic over that comment.
Sure.
And I think he's just laughing at them and then going and doing his work, getting his work done behind the scenes while they're distracted with this magic trick over here. But the evil people use the same thing. They just don't use it against the press. They use it against the people
of
America.
Yeah.
So, the name of that movie is Leave the World Behind. And I did see it, and I don't recall it crashing into a bridge. I know it went into shore. Okay. But the whole point of the movie is that they use an EMP on the U.S. to take over. And I think it's supposed to be like China or somebody taking control of the U.S. But that's why I think there's a lot of people curious about this. Did they test out an EMP on this ship and then take out that bridge because it's a trading cargo place?
Mm.
Apparently, one of the pilots of the ship was a Ukrainian, and I mean, you know, they keep talking about, like you said, this black swan event. So maybe this is, you know, the test.
Don't most Ukrainians like the United States, or aren't we giving them enough? I mean, you know what I mean?
I
would think they would think that we were their ally, but you would think.
Well, no, but I mean, he could have been hired to do this as a false flag.
So the interesting question would be, I mean, there are plenty of ways to test an EMP device, which is an electromagnetic pulse. That's what EMP stands for, and for probably most people understand that by now, but an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse that is large enough, that is strong enough, will fry electronics. Mm-hmm. So if there was an EMP, if there was an electromagnetic pulse in this room, that was strong enough, we wouldn't feel it as human beings, but it would fry all of our phones, sure, all the electronics in the building, unless they're protected. So Faraday cages will protect them, and there are ways of protecting sensitive equipment. And some military applications have already done
all
that.
All the airplanes in the sky would go crashing down.
Yeah, right, right, unless they're protected. Right. So, okay, so where were we? Was it just a distraction? Was the Ukraine war? I mean, some people think the Ukraine war was a distraction. I mean, it certainly was in some regards. But the fact of the matter is that none of us can pay attention to everything all the time, right? We just don't have the brain power to do that. So it's good if we divide into groups, and this group can focus on that issue, this group can focus on that issue. But the point is that I said they're laughing at us again. Let's go back to the Biden thing, because that's what you talked about at the beginning of the show, the trans visibility day.
Okay.
And saying that that was applied to Easter. And then you also mentioned, John, that Easter doesn't fall on the same day every year.
Right.
Here's the problem. This thing, and don't, please don't anyone get angry with me for this. I'm just telling you that I'm just telling you history. I'm telling you facts. This is true, right? I'm not making this up. When I became a Christian 30 some years ago, I've always been fascinated by words and what words mean. You know, what is this word? Oh, that's Latin for whatever. And so we have this word. English is primarily a Romance language. In other words, mm-hmm, it's based on Latin, like, sure, French and, yep, and Spanish. But what words? So when I heard Easter, I thought, that's weird, because I don't see that word anywhere else in the Bible. Easter, it doesn't come up. What does it mean, Easter? And why do we call it Easter Sunday? Well, it turns out it's not Latin. It's not Greek. It's actually an anglicized form of a name, and the name is Ishtar. So who is Ishtar? That's the question. Who is Ishtar? And as I did further research, I found out that Ishtar is actually the name of a pagan sex goddess. Ishtar is the goddess of fertility. The story is that the pagan god and goddess got together, had a little fun, had a kid. Well, they didn't really have a kid. They had an egg, and the egg dropped into the Euphrates River, and out popped the goddess Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, the sex goddess Ishtar. And Ishtar was worshipped on the first full moon after the vernal equinox, and they would... I mean, the sex stuff that went on in times past, we don't know about it, but they would have temples where people would go in and have sex. This is part of their religious observance. So, mm-hmm, we talked about trans being a religion.
Yep, yep.
They would have sex with the intention of getting the women pregnant.
Right.
So that they could, 9 months later, give birth to a baby that they would then sacrifice to their god.
Yep.
I mean, abortion is really bad.
Mm.
I think if there's anything worse than abortion, it would be this.
Right, right.
Intentionally impregnating yourself or a woman so that she can give birth to a baby, so that you can sacrifice that baby on the altar of Baal or whoever it is. They did that way back then. We're getting really close to that again in today. I mean, we're moving in that direction.
Sure.
Anyway, back to the point. Ishtar was a sex goddess. She was the goddess of fertility. And she was worshipped on the first full moon following the vernal equinox. So that's history. It's also history that Constantine, who was a Roman emperor, was the first Roman... I mean, he ran Rome. He was the first Roman ruler after the crucifixion of Christ that didn't persecute Christians. All the other Roman rulers persecuted Christians. Constantine was the first one who not only didn't persecute Christians, but he said, "Nah, Rome is Christian. That's the national religion of Rome. We're Christian. We're a Christian nation." So Rome had welcomed all kinds of pagan religions and pagan cults, and they ran rampant in Rome for hundreds of years. All of a sudden, if you're a priest to Baal, or you're a priest to Ishtar or Ashtara, you can read in the Bible about the Ashtara poles. Now all of a sudden, your religion doesn't line up with the official religion of Rome. That's not good. I mean, that could be bad for business, right? So what happened was the church engaged in syncretism. Syncretism became kind of the rule of the day in Rome during this period under Constantine, where all these pagan religions began to come into the church, and pagan priests and pagan priestesses, and they began to adopt some of the same ideas and concepts into the church in Rome as these pagans believed.
You must have watched The Da Vinci Code.
No, I didn't. I try to spend my time doing profitable things.
When you said Ishtar, I was thinking of Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman from the 1987 movie Ishtar.
Oh, really?
Just really quickly, too.
I didn't see that movie either.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the it was like an SNL skit with Liam Neeson doing a... what is it? A casting to play Peter Cottontail?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are hilarious.
One of the things he says, eggs aren't going to be the only thing that are going to be dying tonight. And they're like, what do you mean? Are you Peter Cottontail right now? And he's like, yeah, it's a rabbit that lays eggs. You have no idea what this thing is capable of.
Wow. SNL.
Yeah, yeah.
They came up with something. So here's the problem. That the church in Rome during that time engaged in syncretism. That's a problem. Why is that a problem? Why is syncretism in the church a problem? Maybe it's good to ask the question, what is syncretism, right? Syncretism is the blending of two religions or religious ideas into one. And the problem with that is that if there is such a thing as truth, and of course there is, it changes both religions. God sternly warned the Israelites not to partake in any of the pagan religions of the nations that were surrounding them, right? He said, don't marry their women, don't worship their gods, don't allow them to influence the way that you do things, because they do hideous things like child sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the Jewish people routinely married their women and then began to engage in the same kinds of practices that these people do. And they melded them with Judaism. Okay, so Judaism now is adulterated by these pagan religions. Make sense? Mm-hmm. God didn't like that. And then when that would happen, God would get angry with them and he'd smite them and he'd punish them, and then they would generally eventually turn back and say, we're sorry, we won't do that anymore. In some cases, God said, these people and their religious practices are so evil. I mean, because there are spirits involved, there are demons involved in that religious group, this group of people. God would say, they're so bad, you, speaking to the Israelites, are going to go in there and slaughter all of them. You've got to wipe them out. Men, women, children, even kill the animals. Because we found out when Jesus healed the demoniac living amongst the tombs, the demons that were in him begged Jesus, he said, send us into the swine. So Jesus allowed them. Jesus cast them out of this man. And all these demons went in these swine, these pigs, and this whole herd of pigs rushed down to the banks of the water and drowned themselves. I think they did it so they could escape this swine and then go somewhere else. But the point is, demons can inhabit animals. So God said, kill every man, woman, and child, and even kill all the animals. Don't take any of them for yourselves. Why? It was a purging, a cleansing process so that those people wouldn't infect the Jewish people with their false religion. Okay. That's syncretism when that happens. That's what happened to the church in Rome. And the proof of that is, why do we call Resurrection Sunday, which happened during which Jewish holiday? I mentioned it on the show a couple of times. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the angel of death in Egypt passing over the houses of the Jews who had put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintels of their homes. In the movie Exodus, it was the movie Exodus. Mm-hmm. Not Exodus. Terrible movie. The movie The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
It's the Jewish holiday we know as Passover. That's what Jesus was celebrating mm-hmm. with his disciples. Remember in the upper room?
Yep.
Jesus asked, where can I celebrate? Asked the owner of the house, where can the master celebrate Passover with the disciples? And they said, here, there's a large furnished mm-hmm. upper room. You go celebrate it there. So they were celebrating Passover. Jesus was with the disciples celebrating Passover. And the elements, the bread and the wine, that was part of the Passover celebration where the Jews remember how God rescued them right. out of Egypt.
Yep.
And the angel of death passed over them. So Jesus said, I'm really the sacrificial lamb. The lamb that your forefathers, that your ancestors killed, and then took the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost lintels of their homes, I'm shedding my blood for you. You can apply my blood to the doorpost of your heart, so to speak, so that your sin will not bring about death in you, and that judgment will pass over you because you've believed in me, because you've believed in my blood, which I shed on the cross for you. It's this beautiful, amazing, new understanding of what Passover and the blood of the Lamb really meant and represented. That's what Jesus did. So when he said, do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me, he's referring again to the Jewish festival of Passover, the Jewish holiday of Passover, which they're commanded to keep. So Passover is based on the lunar calendar. Passover hasn't occurred yet this year. It comes at the end of this month. I think starts the 25th. And Jesus was crucified and resurrected during Passover. So why do we celebrate, first, why do we call it Easter? And then why do we celebrate it so far away from when Passover is? Okay, here's the conclusion. When syncretism took place in Rome and these pagans began to influence Christian thought and the Christian church in Rome, one of them was the goddess Ishtar, who was celebrated on the first full moon following the vernal equinox. That happens on different calendar days throughout the year, but you look at the moon after the vernal equinox and you go, okay, first full moon, this is it. Now we worship to Ishtar, we, you know, celebrate her and make sacrifice to her, whatever. Because of what happened, because of the syncretism that happened in Rome, the church shifted the date away from Passover and towards the celebration of Ishtar. So if you look at any calendar in the last 1,000 years, at where Easter shows up on the calendar, Easter Sunday, it's always the first Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox. I didn't believe it when I first read that. I went back through old calendars and I looked at Easter Sunday. Whoop! Yeah, it's right after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. And by calling it Easter, that again is a reference to Ishtar, because Easter is the anglicized form of the word Ishtar, the pagan goddess. And so that obscures, I think it's demonic personally. I think it's satanic. I think it's worse than Joe Biden.
I've heard this before.
Calling it Trans Day, Trans Visibility Day. But it really wasn't that day. Jesus didn't rise from the grave on the first Sunday following the first full moon after vernal equinox. He rose from the grave on what I call Resurrection Day, which happened during Passover, which is yet to come. It's still 3 weeks away. So syncretism causes all kinds of problems. And someone might say, well, no, that's ridiculous. That's not really true. It's not named after. We don't worship based on a sex goddess or anything like that. Okay, fine. Finish this question for me. Those people multiply like blank.
Rabbits?
Well, like rabbits, yeah. Right. What's the symbol that, what did I eat as a kid that was made of chocolate that came in my basket on Easter Sunday?
Rabbits?
Rabbits, yeah. Rabbits,
eggs,
right.
Rabbits,
and eggs. Yeah. Eggs are a symbol of fertility because that's how Ishtar got mm-hmm. here, right? She fell from the heavens as an egg into the Euphrates River and then popped up later. So all these things, the symbol of eggs, the symbol of rabbits, all of those are a reference to the goddess Ishtar, and have nothing to do with the resurrection.
Yeah.
have nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. So it's becoming... So again, I think they're laughing at us because Christians are getting all upset about Biden referring to Easter Sunday as Transvisibility Day. But the real resurrection day of Jesus, which takes place during Passover, was obfuscated almost 2,000 years ago when this idea of calling it Easter and celebrating it on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox made it so separated from the event. Here's how bad it is. So I think Satan scored on 2 points. One, he has the most holy event ever in the history of the world that God did, renamed to reference a pagan sex goddess. That's number one. I think that's the worst. The second thing he did was obscure what it's all about. Because what does Easter mean? I mean, if we called it Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection Day,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Right? I mean, in Israel, they're the Feast of Lights, the Feast of Booths, Passover, all those things refer to exactly what they're doing. A few years ago, I can bring the footage and show it on this show if you want to see it. I went out with my camera and a microphone to a parking lot in town a few years ago, right around this time. And I asked people, I said, so what do Christians celebrate at Easter? And I let them answer. John, most people had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They had no idea. I mean, if you ask them, what about Christmas? At least that has the word Christ sure. in it, right? Yep. Oh, isn't that the birth of the... Yeah. But when I asked, what about Easter? What is it? My favorite answer, not my favorite answer, the most amusing answer was the guy that said, I think, isn't that when we thank the Indians for giving us corn?
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, so kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier with that, the train derailment and everything, because Marie Stewart, she said, yeah, installing...
You mean the ship.
The ship.
Or the ship, yeah. Yeah. Installing fear of transportation, because they're also doing that, you know, with... Because Boeing, the airplanes...
The door blew off, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got all this. But I'm curious as to what she's asking. Are they making a big deal out of the April 8th date? I don't know.
Well, you know what's April 8th?
What?
The eclipse!
Oh! Okay.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but anyway, that's why I'm going on vacation was... I'm going to look at the eclipse. But
so did you get the special glasses?
They've got them for me down there, yep.
They do, okay, yep. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's kind of fun. Now, here's something I've not had a chance to check out. I've not had a chance to check this out myself, so don't quote me on this. Maybe I shouldn't even say it. I'll check it out, but I'll just say this. I've been told that there are numerous cities that are named a certain name that references a biblical event, and there are like 8 or 9 of them that are all in the path of this eclipse.
Okay.
And that has some kind of spiritual significance. I don't know that I believe that, but it's an interesting theory. So someone just told me that over the weekend.
Yeah, hey, well, I was
that would
right.
be that even... picture that I saw. Somebody put a picture up, and it was like a tracing going yes. through the United mm-hmm. States, and it makes yep. a symbol that is like,
oh.
like a satanic type of symbol or something.
Oh, no, this is about specific names of cities.
Oh,
that will all be that they'll all be in the dark mm-hmm. for this yep. during the eclipse, because that's what happens, right?
Yep.
The moon
yep. completely covers the completely sun or covers blocks
so
it.
You have yep. like it's like nighttime for a few for
sure.
a few seconds.
Yep, yep.
Before it comes out again.
And I know there are parts of the country where there'll be a million people there watching because oh, it's just yeah. it's crazy. I was told where we're going to make sure you're there 2 days early, and this is the middle of nowhere. In Arkansas, wow. So yeah, so we're gonna get there Saturday, and the eclipse is Monday.
But you're staying with relatives mm-hmm. while you're there.
Yep.
But they don't live in the actual path.
They do.
Oh, they do.
Yep.
So why would they? Can't they just walk out of the front yard?
And oh yeah, we'll be able to. But to get into that area, that town, or wherever they're at, there's just so many people nice. That just fill the place, the whole area. They're not even in a town. But anywhere they can, parks, anything like that, that's just, it's like the hotbed.
I don't see the big deal. Like, okay, cool. there goes the moon.
I mean, it would freak out people a long time ago that didn't know any better, I would imagine.
For sure.
This is Mary. I seen a sheriff giving a press conference that their whole city is going to be shut down because of the connection to weird stuff happening. Wow.
Well, there could be all kinds of weird stuff happening. I mean, that if you're a terrorist.
Sure.
I'm not making a suggestion, but if you're a terrorist, there could be, you know, think about it. If you get a bunch of Americans all in one place, all single focused, all looking up into the sky with special glasses on, that could yield some really bad results, unless they have some other Americans who take your attitude, Paul, and say, I couldn't care less.
Right.
I'm here watching. I'm watching for any nonsense that might go down, and I'm going to be ready to stop it. And I think we need people like that, too. So maybe you should volunteer.
I'll probably be staring at my phone.
Well, I guarantee you, I will be watching. I'll be watching with a cold beverage in my hand. All right.
A cold beverage. Hey, yeah. So there it is. So they're laughing at us again. Again. We've got to stop it. We've got to take our eyes off the magic trick and look to see where the real action is going on. And sometimes it's not a magic trick. Sometimes it's for real. But we need to just be aware of that.
Sure. Wow, I guess that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I will be gone next week, so enjoy. Safe trip. It'll be a good one. I'll be watching it. And by the way, Hidden Agenda today has been brought to you by Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemptionshield.com.
Yeah, just go to gfbestsource.com, and at the bottom of the homepage, you just click the shield, and you can order that today. All right. There we go again. Thank you to David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, Paul the producer, and myself for Hidden Agenda. Again, tune in next Tuesday. We'll be doing this all over again. Hey, everybody, have a great day, all right? Tomorrow, we're going to talk with Sadie Hansen. She's running for District 42 House. There's some stuff going on there. It's going to be an interesting conversation. We're looking forward to it. Everybody, remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. It dings every time I go on the air. It's a pretty cool thing. You'll never miss a show, all right? In the Grand Cities, yeah, they are grand. Grand Forks Best Source is giving them an identity again.